The following is a Sunday feast lecture on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 5, text number 20, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatikari, recorded on January 23rd, 2011, in Los Angeles, California, USA.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 5, text number 20. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Namo
Prahrishyat priyam prapya nod vijat prapya cha priyam stira buddhi rasang mudo brahma vid brahmani stitaha. Translation and purport by the divine grace Srila Prabhupada. A person who neither rejoices upon achieving something pleasant nor laments upon obtaining something unpleasant, who is self-intelligent, who is unbewildered, and who knows the science of God, is already situated in transcendence. Purport. The symptoms of the self-realized person are given herein. The first symptom is that he is not illusioned by the false identification of the body with his true self. He knows perfectly well that he is not his body, but is the fragmental portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is therefore not joyful in achieving something, nor does he lament in losing anything which is related to his body. This steadiness of mind is called sthira buddhi, or self-intelligence. He is therefore never bewildered by mistaking the gross body for the soul, nor does he accept the body as permanent and disregard the existence of the soul. This knowledge elevates him to the station of knowing the complete science of the Absolute Truth, namely Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. He thus knows his constitutional position perfectly well, without falsely trying to become one with the Supreme in all respects. This is called Brahman realization or self-realization. Such steady consciousness is called Krishna consciousness. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Bada Kamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagra Jata Sahagana Raghana Tanvita Tam Sajiva Sadaita Zavadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha. So, this is the great mercy of Krishna upon us. At the present moment, we are very much entangled in the cycle of birth and death. We are suffering so many varieties of miserable conditions. Birth, death, old age, disease, misery is caused by the mind and the body. Misery is caused by other living entities. Misery is caused by natural disasters. So many problems. One problem stacked upon another problem, stacked upon another problem. And this has been going on for countless eons, this miserable condition we've been in. Krishna has so kindly come to speak this Bhagavad Gita. Apparently to Arjuna, but actually it is for us. Arjuna is his eternal associate. He doesn't need this knowledge. He's already suffered that. But Arjuna is playing the role of a person who is conditioned like us, by Krishna's divine arrangement, so that we can hear this knowledge and thus gain the information, the knowledge, the technique, the pathway, everything we need to know how to get liberated from this condition. Krishna's infinite kindness manifested in the form of these teachings. Here he so wonderfully described the self-realized soul. In this world, we have to face so many things which are displeasing, and sometimes we get things that are pleasing. This is the world of duality, sukha-dukha, happiness and distress. But the self-realized person, he is not affected by this, because his happiness is within. His happiness is on the spiritual platform and has nothing to do with his material body. It can be a beautiful day, it can be an ugly day, it doesn't matter, because he has that beautiful day always within his heart. He can be healthy, he can be sick, doesn't matter, because he always has that spiritual health within him. He can be wealthy, he can be impoverished, it doesn't matter, because he always has that spiritual wealth within him. That spiritual wealth is his connection with Krishna, the source of all existence, the supreme, all-powerful, all-beautiful, all-renounced, all-knowledgeable, all-wealthy, and all-famous personality, who is engaged in unlimited varieties of loving relationships with his intimate devotees, and who is inviting us also to become his intimate devotees, to give up this miserable condition of material existence. If one takes up this pathway of reviving his lost loving relationship with Krishna, Krishna gives all empowerment. He gives all facility. In other words, you don't need anything external to take this path. All you need is sincerity. Show me a corporation that will just take you on the basis of sincerity. You have to have a degree, you have to have so much work experience. They say, well, you got to hit the ground running in this corporation, then we'll hire you. Sincerity will not get you very far in this material world. They want so many qualifications. But Krishna simply requests one thing and one thing only, and that's sincerity. One may say, but I don't have any sincerity. Well, I ask you, are you saying that sincerely?
Yes.
And one Mataji, she came up after the class when I made this point. She said, well, I can't even sincerely say I don't have any sincerity. I'm not saying it sincerely enough. Well, that is her sincerity, you see. Anyone, if they really want to, can find that point of sincerity within their consciousness. Anyone, if they really want to do it, can find that point of honesty or sincerity within their heart. Everyone can do. And if you take that as your starting point, from there you can go all the way to perfection. All you have to do is that sincerity. Okay, I'm sincere. Sincerely want to get out of this cycle of birth and death. I sincerely want to revive my lost relationship with Krishna. Then what will Krishna do? He'll send someone to guide you. He'll send you a spiritual master. He'll send you some Vaishnavas. He'll give you a book. He'll do something. If you have that sincere desire to revive your lost loving relationship with God, he's not limited in any way. He can easily arrange by his potency to bring you in contact with a book or a person that can give you just that seed you need to get started on your pathway. And to continue, if you get that seed and that sincerity remains, then he'll continue to give you facility. Because when you plant a seed, what do you have to do? You have to water it. You have to keep the weeds out. If you maintain that sincerity as an ongoing thing, then Krishna will continue to give facility, 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 facility for you. So don't ever give up the principle of sincerity. Whatever you do, don't ever give it up. Even if you feel you're being burned by the insincerity of those around you, which we do have to face in this material world. This is a world of cheaters and the cheated. We have to deal with so much insincerity around us all the time, and it's very discouraging sometimes. But don't give up your sincerity in the face of so much insincerity. Keep that sincerity. Krishna will recognize it. Krishna will bless you. Krishna will facilitate you all the way to perfection. It's not difficult for him to do that. He's not influenced by the insincerity of this world. For him, it's nothing. It's like, are you influenced by the attitude of an anthill that you happen to walk by going down the road? The attitude of the ants within that anthill, does it discourage you? That they don't like you? They don't appreciate you? No. It's just an anthill. So the anthill of this material, for Krishna, this whole material world is just a gigantic anthill. He doesn't care what people think. He just goes on reciprocating with those souls who are sincerely trying to revive their lost loving relationship with him. That's all. He doesn't care what your friends think. He doesn't care what your parents think. He doesn't care what your spouse thinks. He doesn't care what anybody thinks. All he sees is your sincerity, my devotee. All right, I give you all facility. So if we can simply have that quality of sincerity, then Krishna will open the door for us to have constant loving reciprocation with him. You see, this is what it's really all about when you get to the essence of Krishna consciousness. Krishna is a person. And we are persons. We are persons. The actual cause of our suffering is we are starved for love. It's not due to material facilities, lack of material facilities. The actual root cause of the anxiety everyone feels in this world is we're starved for genuine loving reciprocation. That's what we're really lacking. We're starved for genuine loving reciprocation. So Krishna is prepared to give you that unlimited loving reciprocation. Simply, you have to be a willing participant in the deal. That's a willing love partner with Krishna. I'm willing to reciprocate. You see. So how do you show your sincerity to reciprocate? Well, Katha Upanishad is clearly stated, Nitya Nityanam Chaitana Chaitananam Eko Bahunam Yo Vidadati Kaman. That one supreme conscious eternal being is doing what? He's supplying all the necessities for the eternal conscious beings. The plural eternals, the plural eternal conscious beings. So, since he is supplying, should we have some gratitude? Should we have an attitude of gratitude, or we just take? There is no God. Or we eat the foodstuffs he's providing us. No. The beginning point of sincerity is, all right, he's given me all these foodstuffs, now I have to make some offering. And Krishna is asking like that, patram pushpam palam tayam nyomi bhakta prayachati. Whatever you, if you will offer me with love and devotion, a leaf, a flower, fruit or water, I will accept it. So that's our sincerity. If we are willing to show Krishna that we really appreciate what he is giving us by reciprocating that love with our love, you see. If we will just show him that we really appreciate his love by giving some love back to him, you see, then Krishna will give us even more facility. If whatever you have, you offer that in Krishna's service, Krishna will give you more. Krishna can give you the whole world. You see? Simply whatever you have, you engage that in the service of Krishna. That's the key. So, what is the very active proclivity we all have? Talk. Vibrate. You hear a flock of birds, they're all chirp, they're having a little tongue conversation. You go to a public place, the airport or a bus station or a restaurant, everyone's talk. That's our proclivity as human beings. We like to talk, vibrate, talk. So we will take that talking propensity. And we don't say to become silent like the Mayavadis say, you have to become silent. No. The greater silence, because they may close their mouth, but in their brain it's all the nonsense is still going on, you see. But if you will utilize that tongue to glorify Krishna, much chitta madgata prana bhodiyantak parashparam katiyantaschamam nityam tashanti cha vramanti cha. If you will engage that tongue, you see. Krishna says, the thoughts of my devotees always dwell in me, their lives are fully surrendered unto me, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss by enlightening one another and conversing about me. So we'll take that talking propensity and we'll utilize it to glorify Krishna. Krishna will give us the most wonderful thing to say. You may say, well, that could be boring. Just talking about Krishna, I mean, you Hare Krishna, people only talk about Krishna. I mean, isn't that boring? You don't talk about the Lakers or the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, what? How boring, the Super Bowl. I mean, only you don't talk about politics. I mean, how you could be enlivened just talking about Krishna? Isn't that boring? Well, if he was some ordinary person, yes, it would be quite old after a while. But Krishna is not an ordinary person. Krishna is the source of all existence. Krishna is present within every atom. He's present between every atom. Everything that exists is nothing but a manifestation of Krishna. So in that sense, everything is Krishna. So the point is, when you connect with Krishna, who's the root source of everything, that person who's emanating everything from himself, when you connect with Krishna, you have just connected with Everything. Show me an internet connection that'll do that. Come on. Show me a television broadcast or videos. There's nothing you can connect with that will connect you with everything except for Krishna. Nothing. When you connect with Krishna, you connect with everything. Everything throughout the entire universe, everything throughout all the conglomeration of universes which constitute the 1/4 portion of God's creation in all times, past, present, and future. You've connected with absolutely everything. This is the Krishna net. Forget the internet, it's nothing. The Krishna net connects you with absolutely everything. And how do you log in? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. By this process of transcendental meditation, one is able, if you chant with sincerity and humility and love and with a feeling of helplessness, you are directly communing with God. You are having intimate contact with the Supreme Lord, the source of all existence. Direct, intimate contact with the Supreme Person, the source of all existence. So there's nothing like this anywhere. Nothing can compete with Krishna consciousness. This is the supreme state of existence. This is the supreme, Krishna says, the supreme nirvana. Nirvanam paramam in the Bhagavad Gita. The Buddhists, they're very interested in achieving nirvana, but this is, Krishna says, this is the supreme nirvana. So if you're looking for the highest level of consciousness, if you're looking for the supreme satisfaction, you come to the right place. You come to the right place. Just because it's not widely recognized doesn't mean it's not the highest truth. How many people go to the jewelry store to buy diamonds? And how many people go to Kmart? Herman, they still exist. Walmart, yeah, Walmart. How many people go to Walmart to buy costume jewelry? You see, it's a big difference. A very small number go to the jewelry store and buy diamonds compared to the people at Walmart getting costume jewelry. Does that mean the costume jewelry is better than the diamond? No, the diamonds are better. Although the customers are smaller, you see. Or how many people buy Rolls Royces? So here you have this is the highest elite status to be Krishna conscious. It's a very elite thing to be Krishna conscious. This is why Bhagavatam is called Paramahamsa Samhita. This is the highest class of elite, the swan-like men and women, you see, the Paramahamsas. Those who actually come to Krishna consciousness, they are compared to the swan, the highest elite status. The swan has the amazing ability to be able to, with his beak, to take a mixture of milk and water. He can extract the milk and leave the water. So the devotees of the Lord, the Krishna conscious people, they remain within this world to serve the Lord's mission, but they can extract Krishna at every minute. Wherever they go, they connect with Krishna. Whether it's their daily mantra meditation, their daily temple worship, or their active life within society as professionals, as business owners, as students, in whatever capacity. They are mastering, they have mastered, or they are in the process of mastering that art of extracting Krishna at every step by offering everything to Krishna. That's how you connect with Krishna. You can't get Krishna without giving to Krishna. If you give, then you will get, you see. You can't get Krishna consciousness unless you give yourself to Krishna. To whatever extent you give yourself to Krishna, to that extent you get Krishna. So the devotees, under the guidance of guru and senior devotees, they are learning how to offer themselves to Krishna. Every thought, every word, every deed, in all times, all places, and all circumstances. How to always offer their thoughts, words, and deeds to Krishna. Krishna becomes so indebted to these devotees that he gives himself completely to them. Totally. How you could be lacking in anything if that person who is the most powerful, who owns everything, who controls everything, if he gives himself to you, you can never lack anything. You'll never be lacking in any way, materially or spiritually, in any way. Psychologically, intellectually, philosophically, mentally, physically, in any sort of way, if Krishna has given himself to you, just as you've given yourself to him, there's no way you can ever be lacking in anything, because Krishna has everything under his control. He owns everything. So those who are actually intelligent, instead of trying to amass material opulences, of course one could do that for Krishna. Prabhupada said, a Krishna conscious businessman, he can aspire to become the wealthiest businessman in the whole world. Defeat Bill Gates. One could do them. But it's all for Krishna, that's the point. It's all for Krishna. The devotee is not interested in acquiring anything for himself. As Lord Chaitanya said, na dhanam na janam na sundarim. He's not interested in money for his sense gratification. He's not interested in having so many followers for his sense gratification, or being surrounded by beautiful women for his sense gratification. He simply wants to engage everything in Krishna's service. That's all. So by following these wonderful instructions given by Srila Prabhupada, by following in the footsteps of the great Vaishnavas, the great Acharyas, by following the instructions of a bona fide spiritual master who represents this wisdom, then one can quickly and easily become solidly situated in Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day and have a life completely free from anxieties, except for one anxiety, and that is the anxiety of how to deliver all these poor souls who are lost in material consciousness. One actually becomes advanced in Krishna consciousness. He has no personal anxiety anymore, because he feels and he sees and experiences how Krishna is taking care of him at every minute in all circumstances. He has nothing to fear. But his one anxiety is all these foolish people who are suffering without Krishna consciousness. So he dedicates his life completely to spreading the message of Krishna. Every person that he meets, he tries to give them Krishna consciousness. You see, this is his mercy, this is his love, to try to help everyone become Krishna conscious. So we have a few minutes left here. I can ask if there's any questions. You have a question there? So I'm a little bit deaf, so maybe one of you can you want to fill me in on what she said? The mic won't help me, but you, one of you can tell me what she said.
She is saying that she is following the four regulative principle and chanting 16 rounds every day. That one needs to get initiated.
Oh, okay. So if one, the basic instruction that Prabhupada gave is that we should chant 16 rounds and follow the four regulative principles. Now, if I'm doing that, do I really need an initiation? The one thing to note here is that in the chanting, there are 10 offenses to be avoided. in order for the chanting, in other words, just chanting alone is not enough. You have to chant and avoid the offenses. Otherwise, Prabhupada says you can go on chanting for millions of years and never become liberated. One has to become free from the nama-aparads. Now, the third offense is to disobey the order of the spiritual master. That means you have a spiritual master. So, in other words, it's very good if one's doing those things. It's a very good preparation for having a spiritual master. But then you have to actually do that in order to become perfect in your chanting. So one might say, well, I'll just take Prabhupada as my spiritual master, because he's definitely not going to fall down. I'll just take Prabhupada as my guru. Well, Prabhupada told us, if we take Prabhupada as our spiritual master, very good. We all accept him as our spiritual master. It's very good. That's a wonderful, that's the right attitude. But then we have to see, what did he actually say? Accepting someone as your spiritual master means you're now obedient to his instructions. Not that you're my guru and I do what I want. No, guru means you get what instruction have you given? Now I must follow them. So Prabhupada told the leaders of our society in May of 1977 that after he departed, that the new devotees who come would become the disciples of his disciples. So then I should think, if I want to become perfect in my chanting, that I have to find then a disciple of Prabhupada that I can accept as my spiritual master. I have to look for one. I have to pray to Krishna, I have to pray to Srila Prabhupada to bless me with the understanding of who that person could be. Because otherwise the chanting will never become perfect. I'm chanting, but I'm neglecting to avoid the nama-aparads. You see, because Prabhupada instructs very clearly in the Nectar Devotion that one must get initiated. He says in the introduction of the Nectar Devotion, he clearly states that Krishna will not accept your service unless you're initiated. Now that doesn't mean he's not accepting your service now, but he means he's not going to fully accept it. In other words, it's like you go to a company, you're on probation. I remember I got hired by a company one time as a computer programmer. The first 3 months I didn't get benefits because I was on probation, until they really saw that I fit into the corporate mold, which I didn't actually. I left and became a full-time preacher, but that's another matter. But anyway, they wanted to make sure I fully fit into the corporate mold, and then they give me the full benefits. So to get the full benefit of chanting and following the principles, you're getting some benefit now, and that's very good. The full benefit comes when you actually take the full instructions to get initiated by a bona fide spiritual master. Then you're going to get the full benefit. So I would advise you definitely to pray to Krishna, my dearest Lord, I want to be your pure devotee. Please bless me to find that devotee that I can take shelter of as my spiritual master. Please help me, Lord. I understand now that this is from Prabhupada's teaching. This is my duty and responsibility. So now you kindly please bless me with the understanding who that person would be that I can fully take shelter of and serve you under his direction. And this is further confirmed in the Adi Purana. Krishna says, Ye me bhakta jana parata, na me bhakta shtache janaha. Mag bhaktanam cha ye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamamata. Ye me bhakta jana parata. O Sanaprita, the one who is my devotee, na me bhakta shtache janaha. He's not my devotee. Krishna clearly states, the one who is my devotee, he's not my devotee. But the one who is the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So you want to be a devotee of Krishna? Yes or no? Yes. All right? You got to be a devotee of the devotee. Otherwise, he says, no me bhaktas, you're not my devotee. So it's a very strong instruction from Krishna himself to you in the Adi Purana. You want to be my devotee? All right, you better find out one of my devotees that you can be a devotee of his, of him. And then you'll be my real devotee. Okay? Okay, any other questions?
Yes.
Yes.
Is there such thing as pure devotees in other religions of the world?
Is there a pure devotee in other religions?
Are there pure devotees in other regions of the world?
Religions.
Other religions of the world. Well, that's an interesting question, because actually this term religions is an inaccurate term. It's commonly used in the modern society. It's our sociological way of seeing things, but it's not actually correct. Religions are invented by men. God has given religion. So any person who's actually awakened pure love within their God is a truly religious person, whether they're externally a Christian, a Buddhist, a Hindu, a Sikh, a Jain, a Muslim, or whatever it may be. You see? So actually there's only one religion, that's to be a pure lover of God. But man has made all these divisions, and then we fight. You see? That's man-made division. God never created different religions. That's man's invention. So there's no question of other religions. That's a material perspective. Krishna says, give up this concept of religions and just surrender. He says that in Bhagavad Gita. Give up this concept. Sarva dharman pudajaja. Give up this concept of different religions. And just take the real religion of full surrender to the Supreme Person. You see? So there is no prohibition. You have to be a Hare Krishna. No, you have to be a pure lover of God. You may call him Allah, Jehovah. That's all right. If you become a pure, selfless servant of that Supreme Person, then you're our spiritual master. We don't care whether you're a Muslim, a Christian, or whatever you may be. If you're a pure lover of God, then we bow down to you. You're our spiritual master. So, whether they're out there or not, I can't say, but they could be. Philosophically, they could be. Whether they are or not, that Krishna knows. Because he knows what's inside the heart. A pure devotee means there's not even the slightest tinge of selfishness, even on the most subtle levels. So Krishna is the one who ultimately will judge that, not me. But theoretically, yes, there could be. Is there? That Krishna knew. Okay?
Yes.
Nice question, thank you. We got another, maybe one more quick question we can squeeze in, yes.
You said you could take shelter of a devotee's feet. Like, can any devotee be a spiritual master? I mean, without that label.
Can any devotee be a spiritual master? Well, actually, every devotee is supposed to be a spiritual master in the sense of spreading the teachings of Krishna and giving their loving kindness to anyone who approaches them. Every devotee is meant to be a spiritual master. In terms of actually initiating disciples, the etiquette is, as long as your spiritual master is present on the planet, you do not do that. Anyone who comes to you for shelter, you will take them to your spiritual master for initiation. That's the etiquette. So you can certainly feel sheltered by many devotees. It's very good. But those devotees, if their spiritual master is present, when it comes to the matter of being initiated, they will take you to their spiritual master. You should go to... I'd like to introduce you to my spiritual master. It's like when Prabhupada was here, many people came to the devotees of Prabhupada and felt very sheltered and protected by their loving kindness. So we would take those people to Prabhupada and he would initiate them. You see. So as long as one's spiritual master is physically present on this plane, this material plane, then one will take anyone who comes for shelter and guidance, he will naturally take them as a matter of duty, shastric injunction. One will take them to their own spiritual master for initiation. Then after the spiritual master departs, those who are actually mature, they are allowed to take their own disciples. When their spiritual master is departed, if they are mature in Krishna consciousness, which means their mind, words, anger, tongue, belly, and genital are completely controlled in Krishna's service. Mind, words, anger, tongue, belly, and genitals are completely controlled. They're not going wild anymore. They brought them completely under control. Such a person is qualified to take spiritual disciples after his spiritual master departs from this world, according to Rupa Goswami. So our time has run out. Anybody has personal... If there's any other questions that didn't have time, you can always come up. Anybody's interested in my e-course? I have it's a very popular course on the internet. You just go to www.com. backtohome.com, just like in backtohome.god, backtohome.god. And you can get on my free e-course and get a daily dose of Krishna consciousness in your email box. So we thank you all very much for participating in this Krishna consciousness movement. We hope that you will take it with ever-increasing seriousness. Thank you.